Christmas Anticipation, number 2 in the Christmas 2016 series. This is an exposition of Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. This message by Pastor Rott Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, December the 18th, 2016.
Christmas is about anticipation. Children dream of the sights, the sounds, the smells of Christmas morning. Moms endure the days leading up to the return of their children and their grandchildren, when their homes will be alive again with laughter and joy. Christmas has always been a part of our experience. You and I have never known a day, a year, that Christmas wasn't part of our experience. We have always looked back. Year after year, we've looked back and we've declared, unto us has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Every year, we have looked back with salvation in hand. That's why it's hard to think of what it would have been like to live in those days when Christmas was yet future. What it would have been like to live in those days before that angelic choir announced the arrival of the Son of God. It was in the garden, just after the rebellion, when our first parents, Adam and Eve, took and ate the forbidden fruit, and sin and corruption entered the world. It was there, in that setting, that God first declared the gospel. He declared it by taking the life of an innocent in order to cover the nakedness of sin and rebellion. It was there in the garden that he promised that one day the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. It was throughout the pages of the Old Testament that he continued to remind his people that redemption is through blood, as year after year they offered sacrifice for sin. The prophets proclaimed that one day there was coming the Anointed One. One day there was coming one who would be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. They were told that there was one who would be born of a virgin, and thus his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. What would it have been like to live in those days of anticipation, longing, waiting, hoping? Year after year, wondering, is this the year? Is this the year it's going to happen? His name was Simeon. He was a devout and righteous man, a servant of the Lord God. And through the Holy Spirit, he'd been told that he would not taste death until he saw with his own eyes the Lord's Christ. And so he came, year after year, day after day, wondering, is today the day? And he walked through the temple courts and, is that him? What about that person over there? Did he know it was going to be a child? How long had he come? We don't know. But one day, his eyes landed on a young couple carrying a baby. And the Spirit said, that's him. And Simeon went to the couple, took that child in his arms, tears flowing down his face. He declared, I can die in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. Our text this morning is in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. as it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph came to fulfill the law, to do their part in fulfilling the law of God, which was to offer a sacrifice because a woman was considered unclean after giving birth for a male child 40 days, and then she was to bring a sacrifice, a lamb for burnt offering and a pigeon for a sin offering. Now that was done because it was assumed the child was sinful, born of the corruption of Adam. Why did Mary come? Her child was not sinful, conceived of God. It was God in flesh. But he came to be identified with those who came to redeem, to fulfill the law, and to be identified with sinners. They were to bring a lamb, but the law offered for the poor two turtle doves. Another indication that the Magi didn't make it to Bethlehem stable. It came later. Mary and Joseph brought the offering of the poor two turtle doves. They came to fulfill their duty. They met two devout servants of the Lord, both righteous, both faithful servants of God, and both had been longing, hoping, praying that God's deliverer would come. And he came. Christmas had come to Jerusalem. A light had come to a sin-darkened world. Through Simeon and Anna, we see the glory and the wonder of the Christmas message. Two things very briefly. First of all, through the eyes of Simeon, we see God's long promised deliverer. I don't know how long he'd come. I don't know how long he'd known. I don't know if he'd known for years or months or just a few days. But he was looking. God had declared that message back in the garden. It is the message that was echoed throughout the Old Testament. In every sacrifice that was made and every announcement of the prophets, they longed for this one who would come, who would deliver. The message seemed to fade as the years went by. Many no longer believed, but some still believed and hoped against hope that God's deliverer would come. And the moment His eyes landed on that child, just over a month old, for days of purification were 40 days. So looking at this child, just a little over a month old, his heart jumped out of his chest. And he went over and he took that baby and he held him tight. And he looked at that face and he held those tiny hands. And tears streaming down his face, he looked to heaven and said, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Can you imagine? He said more than he realized. Simeon didn't say, "Lord, I've seen the beginning of your salvation. Lord, I've seen a portion, a part. No, he said, "I've seen your salvation." Simeon is declaring what the scripture clearly declares. Christ is sufficient. Salvation is in Him and in Him alone. This child is not part of God's plan. This child is God's plan. This child isn't just a means. He isn't just going to make it possible. He is God's salvation. "My eyes have beheld your salvation." Salvation is whole. It's complete in Christ. That's why years later, the Lord Jesus, after a perfect life, a life without sin, a life without blemish, when He willingly gave His life and hung on that cross, there came that moment. After 6 hours of agony, after 3 hours of darkness, He cried out, "It's finished. It's complete." And He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. And the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holy from everything else, that veil that kept man from God, was torn into from top to bottom, so it fell open. Salvation was complete. Redemption had been paid. Oh, the joy in the heart of Simeon. "My eyes have seen your salvation." At that very hour, Anna, another faithful, devout servant of God, came and she began to declare His story. She began to declare the presence of God's deliverer to all who had been longing for the deliverance of Jerusalem. Anna, that faithful, devout servant who worshiped through fasting and prayer, who didn't leave the temple night and day, until she too saw with her own eyes the Lord's Christ. And she did what all of us are supposed to do when we find the Christ child. She thanked God and she told others. First she gave thanks to God, and then she began to tell everyone who would listen, God's deliverer had come. Anna, like those shepherds who had been out in the field keeping watch over their flock, Anna became an evangelist. You and I, as people of God, you and I, as those who have turned from our sin and put our faith and trust in Christ and Him alone, you and I who come to know the true meaning, the joy and the wonder of Christmas, have been given an incredible task. The task of announcing the good news. The joy of declaring, unto us has been born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that God's deliverer has come. The message of Christmas is that all of the sin that separates man from God, all of the sin that causes strife and heartache and pain between human beings, all of that sin has been dealt with in the child who was born, in the life that he lived, in the death he died. It's not enough to sing the songs. It's not enough to know the story. It's not enough to feel Christmas cheer. Salvation, life, hope, peace demands our surrender to the one born. Because that child, that precious child born that night, is your master and Lord. And life is only found in Him. That's the gospel. And that's the message of Christmas. We talk about it a lot. We, especially in the church, like to say, let's remember He's the reason for the season. We like to look down on people who don't say Merry Christmas. We don't like it when people say Happy Holidays. We don't like it when schools and other places say, can't be any mention of Christ. We can't use the word Christmas. We can't talk about that. But it isn't enough to talk about it. It isn't enough to say Merry Christmas. You and I are to declare the glory and the wonder of the gospel. At this time of year, when at least for a moment, and at least in some small way, the world's attention is turned in that direction, it falls on us to say, here's what it's all about. Here's why we sing. This is why there's joy. This is how there can be peace on earth. Because it's not a fairy tale. It's not a nice, pleasant legend to create warm, fuzzy feeling. It is the eternal truth of God that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And until we know that, we really don't know Christmas. Until we declare that, we've really not celebrated Christmas. Unto us has been born a Savior. And that Savior is none other than Christ the Lord. May we, you and I, be faithful. And may we bow our heart, our lives, to Him and declare Him Lord. And then demonstrate that profession by faithfully living out that truth, not just at Christmas time, but every day, faithfully living in obedience to the command of our King. This child demands more than your attention. He demands your heart, your soul, your all. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the glory and the wonder of the Christmas story. I thank you for the truth that the choir has beautifully presented to us this morning. I thank you for the wonder of the gospel, that we, sinners that we are fully deserving your wrath and judgment. You told us from the very beginning, the soul that sins will die. The wages of our sin is death. But because you love, you have provided the way of salvation. You have guaranteed our future through the giving of your Son. And at this time of year, we celebrate the wonder of God become man in order to redeem sinful, fallen humanity. Lord, I pray that the gospel, that Christmas is real to every one of us here this morning. But Lord, I pray that you would put a fire in our bones, that we could not rest until the whole world knows the truth, and that we would commit ourselves to the task of declaring this truth for all to hear. Lord, thank you for the wonder of the gospel. And thank you for the joyous privilege you've given to us to be heralds of such good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.